This radio program comes to you thanks to millions of men in uniform, Americans fighting overseas.
The Treasury Salute. This is a program of the United States Treasury, your Treasury. To remind you for the fifth time in this war, you serve and save when you buy war bonds. And you salute with us the hero of this war, Chaplain Albert J. Hoffman, United States Army, winner of the Silver Star and the Distinguished Service Cross. Treasury Salute, starring Raymond Edward Johnson with David Brookman and the Treasury Orchestra. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. I'd like you to get a picture in your minds. A picture of an apple-cheeked man in his early 30s. A man wearing rimless spectacles. The kind of man who likes to go on hikes, like to do scouting work, and joined the Iowa National Guard because it kept him out in the open, offered him the chance for exercise, and because he wanted to be of service to his fellow man. Mild man, a mild-looking man, a man of God. His name is Albert Hoffman, and I'm going to tell you his story. Chaplain Hoffman was in the service as first lieutenant the day the Iowa National Guard was federalized, sometime before Pearl Harbor. His friends from Dubuque, Iowa, were to become part of the 34th Division, a division that had seen plenty of sights and heard plenty of sounds in Africa, in Sicily, and today in Italy. Listen to Private First Class George McAvoy of Washington, Iowa.
He picked me up the day that Jerry's got me.
Both PFC McAvoy's legs are in splints from where German scrap iron tore into his thigh and calf bones. He continued.
We were advancing under heavy artillery fire when one of the shells exploded near me. I hit the dirt with both my legs filled up with shrapnel. And I was there a good long time. Hours. Four or five of them. Under the sun. All that time we were under heavy fire. It was about that time I heard this Hoffman, Chaplain Hoffman, moving up toward where I was lying. There were a couple of medics with him.
Hey, soldier.
Yeah?
How does it go, okay?
There's a question.
I know. Stupid, wasn't it? They did a job on your legs, all right. Can you crawl?
Chaplain, I'm just laying here.
Okay. This is the first time for me, as well as for you, so don't get sore at me, I'll learn. Tommy.
Yes, Chaplain.
Get him on your stretcher. Easy now.
Now, listen, soldier. This is liable to take us a little time. Now, it's okay to cuss at us. But just remember the chaplain's here and he might get upset.
I'll remember. It took an hour and a half to get to the little hut 200 yards down the mountainside where Chaplain Hoffman had set up an aid station. When I was taken care of, he went out in search of other wounded. By that time, it was night. But before the night was over, that guy had lugged four more battle casualties into our station. I remember the last guy he brought in.
Coming up. Clear a space, medic.
Hey, Chaplain.
Yeah?
That guy's an Italian. Can't you recognize his uniform?
Tommy, you pronounce the word Italian, not Italian. Help me to set him down.
Yeah.
He's unconscious, I think.
Well, what are you bringing Italians in here for? This is America over here.
This is an aid station. And you know something? When I came on this man, there were some Germans around him, like vultures. They were just about to shoot him dead while he lay there.
You don't tell.
Got a bandage. He's bleeding pretty badly from that chest wound.
I still think you shouldn't have brought that guy in here, Captain.
Poor fellow, look at his face. He's in pain, Tommy. Would you have me leave him there to be murdered by the Germans?
I guess not.
Ah, he'll be okay, you'll see.
P.
PFC McAvoy told us another story about Chaplain Hoffman. One of the men he'd brought in earlier had had part of his skull torn away by a piece of shrapnel. Listen.
You could see this guy's brain. Honest. First time I ever saw brains. Chaplain Hoffman, he took and stuck a sterile bandage over the wound. And he saw to it that the guy was taken to a first aid station further behind the lines on his way to the hospital. And they tell me that months later, the chaplain was talking to one of the medical officers, a surgeon, back at the hospital.
Possible. I don't know myself, of course, but I've heard of cases.
I wish I could find out definitely.
You say you were able to see the man's brain tissue?
Well, if I know brain tissue when I see it, yes. On the other hand, no, you could see it. It was definitely exposed. The wound was so deep, Doctor.
Well, if you ever find out what happened to him, Chaplain, you might let me know. I'd be interested to know if such elementary treatment was able to make...
Excuse me, Chaplain Hoffman. There's a corporal outside who heard you were visiting in this ward. He wanted to...
To see me? Why, sure.
Me, Chaplain. It's me.
Well, I... Golly, I'm sorry, Corporal. I'm afraid I don't remember you.
You don't? Well, you should, Chaplain. I'm the guy whose life... Well, I guess there are other guys whose lives you saved. But I'm the guy that had a head wound.
What?
And you slapped some bandage on it and covered my brain over, remember?
Well, the long arm of coincidence.
What? Well, anyway, the doc who fixed me up said you'd done a pretty fair job of first aid. Said I owed my life to you. You can't thank a guy for a thing like that, Chaplain. But I just wanted to shake your hand.
Thanks, Corporal.
Then there was Hill 609. You may remember that little Tunisian hill in your headlines. Corporal James Fouché of Atlanta, Texas, lying in a hospital ward with his arm held high in an immovable cast after having stopped 8 machine gun bullets, will tell you something of that day at Hill 609. Corporal?
Our battalion was ordered to take Hill 490, the smaller hill near Hill 609. We got halfway up when enemy fire forced us to take cover. One of the fellas up ahead got hit. We could hear him moaning.
Holiday, poor guy. Don't envy him.
Hey! Hey, some water!
How's a guy to get up there? Nazis can cover this whole slope with fire.
Can. Brother, they are.
We kept on listening to the poor guy moan up there. It's a terrible thing when they stop talking and just make noise. Two medics tried reaching him one time, but they only got about 20 yards before they had to come back. Around 1 o'clock, another couple of medics tried it, but one of them got hurt himself. About that time, Chaplain Hoffman turned up.
Trouble?
The guy up there is hurt bad. The way he's groaning's got the guys down. But we can't get him.
Where is he? How far up?
About 60 or 70 yards. Behind that clump of bushes there. You can't see him, sir, but you can sure hear him.
He must be a brave man to have been hurt that far ahead of the rest of you.
Yeah.
I think I'll have a try.
Oh, I wish you a lot of luck, Chaplain, but I don't recommend your trying. The Nazis can cover that whole area with 3 machine guns.
Somebody should have another try at the poor fellow. Here goes.
Well, this Chaplain Hoffman gets up and walks just as calm as you please right up that hill. Not that the Nazis stopped shooting. Oh, no, that was what they call a hail of bullets. The Nazis had all 3 of their machine guns going on that guy. But a few minutes later, the chaplain came back carrying the wounded guy in his arms, staggering a little with the weight. They gave him the Silver Star and his captain's bars for that little stroll he took. Hoffman. To hear his name, you wouldn't be able to say for sure whether the guy was a Catholic or a Protestant or a Jew. And out where he worked, it made strictly no difference. In Sicily one morning, he came back from a little hike up around the front lines, laughing and telling everybody the Germans were wild shots. To hear him tell it, they'd missed him with a mortar shell by 7 full feet. Well, maybe having a mortar shell go off 7 feet away from you is missing you. Maybe. I figure it's not a wide enough miss. There were a lot of men who were very sorry indeed a few months ago when their chaplain left the battalion. Captain Hoffman was headed back to America. When he got here, he made a little speech like this.
In combat, no one stands out as doing anything heroic. Out there, acts of heroism are commonplace. Probably the only reason that anyone gets a medal is that his deed happens to be noticed and reported. As to spending most of my time in the front lines with the men, well, this is the way I look at it. The men brought to aid stations usually are under morphine. They will be cared for by the chaplain in the hospitals. The fellows wounded at the front, perhaps lying for hours before help reaches them, are the ones who especially need a chaplain. There is nothing more terrifying than the feeling of lying alone, lost and helpless. These are the men whom I have made my particular concern.
Chaplain Hoffman is sorry he isn't still with his battalion fighting on the front in Italy today. But he had to come home. Near Sant'Angelo Oliveto one day, he stepped on a landmine. Today, Chaplain Hoffman has only his right leg. His left has been cut off.
No, you don't give, you get when you buy war bonds. You get the satisfaction of knowing that your dollars are helping to rid the world of criminal enemies who would put freedom-loving people into slavery. And after the job is finished, you get your dollars back with interest. Yes, Uncle Sam is sorely in need of your money today for many vital reasons. And then he'll pay you back at a time when you'll need money for many more purposes than you can possibly use it for today. Farmers and ranchers in particular are going to need these war bond dollars tomorrow for new machinery and equipment and for financial reserves. Put your dollars to work on the double duty of helping to win the war and helping to secure your future. Do it today. Back the attack. Buy more than before in the Fifth War Loan. United States Treasury thanks Raymond Edward Johnson and Myron McCormick, who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury salute was written by Peter Lyon and directed by Paul Stewart. The music was conducted by David Brookman. This is Tip Corning speaking. ¶¶